Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. And for this episode, we welcome back Mr. Jeremy Weltman. Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Victor. Really hot day here in the UK as we're recording this, a hot evening. And I'm raring to go with all the June releases. Looking forward to this. How are awesome. You?
Yeah, hot here as well, although we're dealing with thunderstorms tonight. And the music is still hot and heavy, though. So that's the direction we're going in. A lot of good music was released in June of 2025. There have been some months where I think it's either been really good or kind of lean. And I think this month has a lot of really good stuff where it's kind of left me wondering if I was going to have ties for some of these weeks. So let's kick things off here with June 6th. We had new releases from Gruesome, Inglorious, Volbeat, Bear Mace, Turian, and the first stumbling block here. I can't even say block right. I guess this is Ghosta, Bering Saga, Mystic Circle, Austere, A to Z, Holy Roller, Catatonia, King Parrot, Orthodox, Turnstile, reissues from Edge of Sanity, and Nightingale, and there was a compilation, Ramones Redux, depending on how you pronounce that, if you pronounce it in French or not, continuing the series of reissues that have come out on Magnetic Eye, where they've done some interesting covers in the past. That's one of these that I really wanted to check out. I haven't done so yet, and as we are saying this, I'm and noting that I want to check it out. Anyway, there's also a Magic Power All-Star Tribute to Triumph also was released. So, Jeremy, what did you listen to on June the 6th?
I did actually listen to that Magic Power tribute stuff and wasn't so impressed by it. But the things I was impressed by, I listened to A to Z squared by A to Z, as you would say. But I would say A to Z squared by A to Z. obviously, the proggy hard rock supergroup, they're back with a second album. And as you might expect from a a band that features members of Fates Warning and other bands, and they do have Jimmy Waldo of Alcatraz in there as well. There's clearly some very good musicianship on the album, which is to be expected. It does take sort of time, a little bit of time, I guess, to hit home with these songs. It sort of that highlights the fact really that the band's not not a straightforward hard rock outfit, I would say. So that the songs need a few listens, which I try to give time to. At times, I think they could have done with a really good songwriter to sort of come in and change some of the arrangements and improve the harmonies as well. I guess. It's why I'm not that keen on Dream Theater as well, to be honest. But I would say song 5, Reaching Out, is one that I really liked. And there was something on there for, anyone who likes this kind of music. So that was the first one. Nightmares as Extensions of the Waking State by Catatonia. Not a band, I would say, that I'm that enamored by. So I haven't listened to a lot of their music in the past, but it is very genuine. It is well performed. I'd say it's a bit different from the standard Swedish rock sort of rock band. What you would say is it's kind of, I guess you'd describe it as progressive melodic death metal. There's some sort of nifty guitar work on there. The vocals work well. I've sort of quite enjoyed it. And I think if I'm not mistaken, you're going to probably review it further a little bit later. So I'll move on to five by Inglorious. Nathan James back singing his heart out again after a hiatus. A largely sort of new band, sort of beefed up with the guitar exploits of the former Cradle of Filth axe man Richard Shaw. And it really shows. It has a harder edge than the previous four albums. Still has that trademark sort of classic rock melody, which I like. And if you're into hard rock with a guy who can clearly sing, then it's hard not to like this one. And, you know, in a week where I sort of listen to a varied bit of music, I would pick that probably as my tip of the week.
All right. Cool. This to me is a very strong week. It's one of the strongest weeks from this year because of how many new albums that were actually pretty good that came out. I listened to Turnstiles, Never Enough. This really surprised me. If you're looking for something that's a throwback to the 80s, you know, I was looking for something in the way of punk or hardcore coming from Turnstile, which is what they're known for. I don't want to say this sounds like The Cure, but it's kind of in that vein of things that you would have categorized with 80s alternative rock. Not bad, just wasn't what I was looking for. I listened to King Parrot, A Young Person's Guide to King Parrot, because there was the possibility of seeing them open up for Pantera this summer. And this is straight up death metal. King Parrot is from Australia. This is something that Ed would probably be a better person to judge what they're doing, because it's just not up my alley personally. The Catatonia, I like the first few songs, but it just kind of got monotonous to me after that. It just all kind of sounded the same. It sounded like one long song to me. I was hoping for a little bit more variety. Listened to Rat King by Holy Roller, was all right. I really like the Inglorious. See, there's the three that I haven't mentioned yet. I really like all three of them. Inglorious V or Five, definitely the heaviest thing that they've released. And it's probably the most intricate thing that they've released as well, because there's a song towards the end of the album, and I should have the title written down, but it starts out kind of slow, sounds like it's going to be a ballad, and then boom, it just kicks into something completely different. And I was like, oh, wow, I was not expecting that, because up until now, Inglorious has kind of been paint by numbers with what they do. And their last two albums have probably been their two heaviest, for lack of a better term. But this is definitely heavier than anything that they've done. I didn't know about the member switch, but it makes sense. Outside of Nathan James, this is honestly a revolving door after their first album. They've switched people up continuously, and he's been the focal point of this band anyway. So good on him for finding a good mix of talent for this album. Let's hope that they can stick together and release more things. It reminded me closer to what maybe Arrival Sons is doing, and not saying that it sounds like the Zeppelin influence, because I think that Inglorious has always been more towards, and the band that I'm going to mention is heavily influenced by Zeppelin anyway. They sounded more like a Whitesnake due to his vocals, but this album is the first album that doesn't sound full on like Whitesnake. So it sounds like something different. A to Z, A to Z, A to Z squared. I really like this album from the first listen. And the first thing that came to mind was it wasn't as proggy as I expected. So it's funny how we've got two different takes on the same album, and that's completely fine. And that's why we do this, because there are things that we listen to that we're going to interpret a different way. And there are people that are going to listen to this show and this episode and say, what the hell are these two guys talking about? That album is great. How are they panning that? But to me, my album of the week, and this was hard because this could have easily been a tie, but because I secured tickets this morning, to go see Hailstorm and Volbeat. My album of the week is going to be Volbeat with Goat. Listen, Volbeat is a band that their second album really captivated me. Their second and third album, I think, are great. They lost me for like two albums. And interestingly enough, it kind of coincided with Rob Caggiano leaving Anthrax and joining them. They kind of went, I don't want to say poppier, but they kind of went a little friendlier with radio friendly with some of their music. And it kind of turned me off to them for like two albums. And they had a song here or there that I liked. And then their previous album, they came back and I'm like, okay, this is what I wanted from them. This is exactly what I expected from them. Volbeat is a band that draws heavily from Metallica, from Misfits, from rockabilly music. There's even stuff that, yeah, I guess rockabilly is the best way of putting it, because I mean, there are things that are more geared towards like Johnny Cochran type music or Eddie Cochran. I'm sorry, not Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran was a lawyer. Eddie Cochran, some like early Elvis type stuff as well, which is there in The Voice also. But I think the album is great. It slots in, a lot of the songs slot in well with my Volbeat playlist. So I'm going to go with Volbeat is my album of the week, and Jeremy has gone with Inglorious. Cool. So let's move on to the 13th, or since you said A to Z, if I want to go the heavy New Jersey accent, I could see the, I could say the 13th. all right. So on the 13th, we had new releases from Dolvin, Byzantine, Buck Cherry, Hollow Leg, not to be confused with the old Trivia Tuesday question with Glue Leg having opened up for Kiss, new albums from Fallujah, Psy, Hex Vessel, Nightbearer, Malvada, Aukrist, I guess. Fairyland. We had a new live album from Saxon, Eagles Over Hellfest Live. And we had two reissues. One of them is actually behind me. I was contemplating if I was going to go the Jeremy route and picking a reissue this week. But I didn't. Oh, and there's a compilation. Chris Caffery. With 20 years of the music man, Chris Caffery of Sabotage fame. Jeremy, what did you pick for this week?
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty good week, but it was a Friday the 13th, which is a very metal day, as you would expect. This week I started off listening to Harbingers by Byzantine on the Metal Blade label, and I thought this was pretty great, actually. It's their seventh studio album, but only the second on this actual label. It's progressive thrash. It's very well delivered. Although I would say there are two vocalists coming in together at times, and there could have been a little bit of better tweaking in the mix, but you know, there's a little minor quibbles. It'll probably appeal to fans of Sons of the Apollo, I guess. And it's although it's not all great, when they get the guitars and the rhythm section together, it's very tight. And for the most part, I'd say a really interesting listen. So I did like that album quite a bit. I then moved on to a live album, actually, the Eagles Over Hellfest by Saxon, which you'd expect me to do, being obviously a big Saxon fan. The UK's irrepressible old school metal band are on tour at the moment, and where better to record another live album than Hellfest? This one, of course, is with Diamond Head guitarist Brian Tatler on board now. And while he said that his original band isn't finished, I guess we should start calling him a permanent Saxon member now, because that's what he is. Just two new songs, I think, on this album. There's 14 songs on the set list. So they, you know, they do Hellfire and Damnation and Madame Guillotine from the, you know, the latest studio album. But there's all the usual numbers on there: Wheels of Steel, Princess of the Knives, Heavy Metal Thunder. You can, you know, almost pick out what would be on there. It's very familiar. It's a heavy metal comfort blanket. And you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you've either been living on Mars or you're 12 years old. And you know, it does what it says on the tin. So you know, thumbs up to Saxon. Hope Biff recovers as well. He's ill at the moment. I then moved on to Malvada, obviously a debut album by a band called Malvada. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's an all-girl band on Frontiers. So I actually thought it'd be fairly soft melodic rock, but no, although it's melodic for sure, there's a lot of very heavy guitar going on this one. And while, you know, I'd say there's, you know, probably a few generic bits thrown in, it's amazingly good. Really good. It's very tight. It's rhythmic. There's a great vocalist called Indira Castillo who actually sings. She doesn't shout. She doesn't squeal. She actually sings properly. A little bit of background: the band formed during the pandemic in 2020, but it's their debut album, as I said, and it's a four-piece, and they hail from Brazil, where they've apparently played live at a lot of festivals, and the songs are a sort of a mix of English and Portuguese lyrics. I think Steve Hoker will be in his element in this one. I think he'll really like it. But to be honest, so am I. And I really, really like this album. It was a real surprise, which is why we do this show, because, you know, it turns up surprises. And so for that reason, I'm going to pick Malvada as my album of the week.
Excellent. And by the way, if the meaning is the same in Portuguese as it is in Spanish, it means damned.
Okay. Probably does. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I listened to Roar Like Thunder from Buck Cherry. I've really liked the last few Buck Cherry releases, and I think this one kind of falls short of that one, like, really song that grabs you. I think that's what they've been fantastic with, is that with the last few albums, they've had two, three, four songs that really grabbed me, in that you'd think of the band being around this long and saying, yeah, when are they going to slow down? You know, it's uncharacteristic for a band to continue to release that number of, you know, good material over the years. And I think this one is kind of a notch below some of the more recent albums, unfortunately. Not a bad album by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not as strong as what they've released. My album of the week, you actually touched upon it already. Byzantine Harbingers. This band, I've been following them for the last three releases, if I'm not mistaken. And they have the right amount of guttural vocals. They have the right amount of clean vocals. There's a thrashiness to them. There's a straight up hard rock to them. There are point in times where you get blast beats and it gets closer to even, you know, metalcore at times. But the band has always surprised me with how varied their music is. They could easily just have, you know, polka beats throughout or blast beats throughout, and they choose not to. They really mix things up, which is something that I greatly appreciate. So for me, Byzantine's Harbingers is my album of the week. All right, so let's move on to the 20th here of June, and just adjusting the list here. One second, folks. All right, here we go. The ever so popular Alestorm with the Thunder Fist Chronicles. So for those of you that don't know, there are two forms of metal that I've been asked not to post on Patreon. One is pirate metal and one is folk metal. Symphonic metal is kind of on the edge there, because every now and then there's a surprise here or there with where they left the harpsichord unplugged and people will say it's passable. But yeah, so Alestorm falls in that pirate metal. Sorry, folks. All right. We had new albums from Hero, I guess it's pronounced. Patristic, Rotgut. Oh, wow, this is the week of me fumbling over names. Imam, Tarikat, Mugshot, Black Mastery, Cryptopsy, all right. Malevolence, Nad Sylvain, and Leverage. We also got a compilation from Sweet, not The Sweet, but Sweet, Level-Headed, Alternative Mixes, and Demos. Yeah, I kind of made some annotations to some of these albums so I wouldn't forget what I'd listened to. But Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
I think every metal band should actually send you their album titles and their name in their logo so that you have to read it out in their logo form. Because as you know, there's a lot of death metal bands out there that you can't even read the names. Yeah, so that would be amusing.
Looks like Tree Branches and Thorns.
That's right. Yeah. So, and this week I found it a little bit more difficult, but we do get that from time to time, and that's fine because, you know, we're picking out albums every single week in a month, and it's difficult. But I listened to Gravity by Leverage, a very interesting album on the Frontiers label, a band I know very little about. It's a heavy rock sort of kind of almost epic power metal band from Finland. Music that I guess is rooted in, you know, some sort of traditional hard edge guitar, which, you know, for me makes it listenable. Apparently, I found out that the band's singer died in 2022, but they carried on with a new vocalist. And this is album number 6 in just under 2 decades as well. I'd say it kind of stopped short of excelling completely, but, you know, how many albums do we say that about? But, you know, it's a very enjoyable listen overall. It rounded out with an epic 8-minute title track. If it was 80 minutes, we'd really be struggling, wouldn't we? But it was an 8-minute title track at the end. It was worthy of your time. So go out there and listen to Gravity by Leverage. It was perfectly enjoyable. I also listened to Oceans of Black by Black Majesty, the Australian power metal band, keeping, I'd say, firmly within that genre, you know, sort of furious riffing, the songs about ravens, oceans of black, stones on fire, that sort of thing. It was, they had an adequate but not entirely convincing singer, in my opinion. And I would say it was probably sort of fairly standard stuff with, there was a generous dose of melody. I'd say the songs don't outstay their welcome. I'd say there was decent production quality on it, which helps. But it just didn't really stand out that much from the crowd, really. I welcome their enthusiasm. I'm sure they'd be a very enjoyable support act, and I would certainly want to see them as a support act live. But it just didn't really sort of move me. So I probably have to pick the Gravity album by Leverage as the album of the week.
Okay. I listened to quite a few things this week. I listened to Wield by Hero. Very long prog rock, long songs, just not my thing. I listened to Mugshot and All the Devils Are Here, straight up death metal. I listened to Black Majesty as well. And what else? I listened to the Nad Sylvain, and that's straight up 80s blues rock. But I'm going to go with Where Only the Truth is Spoken by Malevolence. I don't like it as much as their previous album. It's good. It's got some good tracks on it, but I don't think it's as good start to finish as their previous album. This album is maybe missing the melodies that they had on the previous album with the back and forth vocals. And that's kind of what I missed here. I was really looking forward to this album. It is still my album of the week, but it's still not anywhere as close to what I was looking for by the band. All right. Let's see. June 27th. We had new albums by Blood Vultures, TSS, Hot Milk, Heaven Shall Burn, King Witch, Warlord. Putridity. Okay. Nicholas Soan, Sodom, Baby Metal. I have Venom here, but there was no Venom album released. Robin Lynn and Tiffany Kills, EP from Deadlands, reissue from Motorhead, their Manticore tapes, and a live album by Crystal Viper. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, I listened to a few. I started off just obviously sounding out the Manticore tapes by Motorhead. And why not? You know, all three original members are, or I think the original members, weren't they? All dead now, unfortunately, passed away. Mm-hmm. And that's sad, isn't it? Because, you know, Motorhead was such an important part of our metal lives for so long. This is actually early recordings of the band, which you'd expect. You know, they were unreleased, very much with a sort of rock and roll and slightly punky edge than the sort of very loud heavy metal they kind of morphed into. There's three instrumentals, there's three alternative takes on here, and it's all got a really sort of very rough and ready soundcheck feel to it. I mean, it's obviously stuff that they didn't want to release at the time, and now they've gone. You know, they're being put out there. I guess it's the sort of thing that usually gets bundled up with other, you know, sort of superior albums. It's nothing that you would normally release on its own. So I guess you would describe this as one for the completists and the curious. But it's nothing more than that. It's definitely not a must buy. It's not a must listen. It was just interesting to hear it. That's all I would say about that. So I moved on to Electric Dreams by Niklas Sonne. This was a very listenable sort of heavy rock album that, you know, will appeal to everyone, given all the sort of technical assistance that gives it a rather sort of overproduced and generic sound. But, you know, this guy can really write a tune or two, and it does contain, you know, the right amount of heaviness for me, as on the track Shadows in Between, which is a, you know, kind of, I'd describe it as Nickelback meets Metallica, that sort of sound. Mm. There's a really terrible ballad on here, but, you know, and as you know, I like ballads generally, but there are 12 songs on the album and it only lasts 42 minutes. So I'd say nothing overstays its welcome. And there's no shortage of riffing, as you know, around the sort of high quality melodies that he does. So I'd say I went back and listened to the previous album, Resonance, and I'd say it was sort of more in your face in terms of production than this album. But, you know, it was a perfectly good listen for me particularly. So, yeah, it was fine. Then I moved on to World on Fire by Tiffany Kills. This, I guess, should be dismissed out of hand for the inadequate mixing, but it does have a bit of an appeal all of its own. For one thing, I'd say it's old school hard rock with some really great heavy riffs, courtesy of German axeman Matthias Don Dieth. For another, the band clearly have a set of really good tunes, so much so you'd really be happy listening to these guys live. I'd say, you know, there's good melodies on there, there's good choruses. Immediately thought of Demon, Praying Mantis. And what do you know? I found out the vocalist is actually Dutchman John Kuipers, who has actually fronted Praying Mantis since 2013. So there you go. I did recognize the voice. I don't know. In this week, I probably would pick that as my album of the week. It was more enjoyable than the other two. So yeah, there you go. That's the one I'll pick.
Okay. For me, I listened to a bunch of things this week. I listened to Royal Lynn, Black Magic. This album came out on Epitaph. This is kind of a... I feel that we have a sudden push for people that are doing what Poppy has been doing these last few years. Listen, and what Poppy's been doing really isn't original, but she does it well. At least for me, she mixes the guttural with the pop nuances that she has really well. This Robin Lynn album, not bad, but we're starting to get to a wave where we're starting to see the copycats that are kind of starting to fall short. It's not bad, not terrible, but if I'm going to listen to this, I'm going to listen to other bands, just to be honest. Baby Metal, Metal Fourth. This has a few tracks on it that I enjoyed. I usually enjoy a track or two off of each one of their albums. But they're relying a lot on collaborations this time around. I don't know if the well is starting to run dry. And that's why. It's okay. Some of the songs are entertaining. But, you know, for the most part, it seems as if their albums are going down in quality as the years go by. Listen to The Arsonist by Sodom. If you're looking for a Sodom album, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's straight up thrash. There's no swerves on this at all. If you want to swerve, go with Blood Vultures and Die Close. This really surprised me because there was word that the person behind this was Jordan, the guy that's behind 2 Minutes to Late Night, which is something that became very popular during the pandemic, where he would dress up as a vampire per se, or I don't know what his character was, and he would cover songs with other people, and a lot of the hip metal sites would post about it, and he was getting a lot of views. And at first, I thought to myself, I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I want to check this out or not. But the last song on the album, I want to point this out because the song is what made me listen to the entire album. Blood Vulture. I was saying Blood Vultures. It's actually called Die Close Finale. Is the track. It takes you on a trip. It goes between some gothic metal to straight up hard rock. It's almost, I don't want to say it's a 2025 rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody, but it's kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody in the sense that it's got different parts, different movements to it. It's pieced together really well. It sounds really cool. And if nothing else, check that song out. It's really good. But my album of the week is going to go to the British band King Witch, who I will be interviewing in the next few days. Their new album is called Simply Three. This is a band that I've been into for the last few years. I think that this is their third album that I've really paid attention to. And this reminds me of Sanhedrin to an extent. Because of the vocals, because it's a female singer, but the vocals are really aggressive throughout this. Like Ronnie James Dio type aggressive, when Dio really did his take a song like Gypsy, where Ronnie James Dio is going straight at it. And it just gives off a certain amount of swagger and power. That's what this album is chock full of. That's my best way of explaining it. It's got hooks, it's got thick riffs. It is really good. And I look forward to interviewing two members of the band this week, and that will be on Signals from Mars shortly, hopefully, so long as everything goes as planned. Something I suggest you guys checking out. I think the album is really strong. But all right, so before wrapping this up, we're going to go over the albums we picked for June 6th. Hmm. Jeremy picked V by Inglorious. I picked Goat by Volbeat. We had some honorable mentions there as well. For June 13th, Jeremy went with the self-titled debut from Malvada. And I went with Harbingers from Byzantine. The 20th, Jeremy went with Gravity by Leverage. And I went with the new album from Malevolence, Where Only the Truth Is Spoken. And on the 27th, Jeremy went with World on Fire by Tiffany Kills. And I went with Three by King Witch. Since we have some time here, and we usually do an episode set aside to the best of the first half of this year, we haven't set anything like that up yet. We may still do that, but I'm just going to run down some of the albums that we picked throughout the year. Because I think it's important to kind of touch on some of these.
Interesting and, reminder.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. And I don't think there's, remind me as we go along here, if there's a clean cut number one in your mind. Okay. I think last year Priest was clear cut. I think the year before that it was Rival Sons for the two of us as well.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have that this year yet.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah. So let's go over this real quick. In January, the albums that we picked were Sirens by Moon Wizard. For Jeremy, I picked March of the Unheard by the Halo Effect. Jeremy picked Time is the Fire by Tokyo Blade. I went with Land of the Blind by Dunes. Jeremy went with Higher Ground by Bonfire. I went with My God Has a Gun by Vukovi. For the final week in January, Jeremy went with Lightning in a Bottle by Pentagram, and I went with Anti-Fragile by All That Remains. February. First week, Jeremy went with The World Was Never Enough by Days of Jupiter. I went with Lost in Flames by Saber. Jeremy went with Thrill of the Bite by Crazy Licks. I went with Sleepless Empire by Lacuna Coil. Let's see. Third week, Jeremy went with Chapter 4 by Twins Crew. I went with The Consequence by Killswitch Engage. Then Jeremy went with Heart of a Lion by Perfect Plan, and I went with Plague of Rats by Brainstorm. Now, this month had three albums that I'm still listening to consistently. So, looks like those are going to shape my end of the year list here. What happened here? Oh, okay. I see what happened. All right. For April, first week, Jeremy didn't have a pick. I went with Tsunami Sea by Spirit Box. Second week, oh no, that's not true. Jeremy went with One Day Remains, the 20th anniversary by Alter Bridge. Okay, it's farther down. The second week in April, Jeremy went with Heat Lightning by Sanhedrin. And I went with Stygian Waves by Envy of None. The following week, Jeremy went with Stereo Crush from Goddard, and I went with New Delhi by Bloodywood. Then Jeremy went with Dark and Dangerous by Savage Master, and I went with Blood Dynasty from Arch Enemy. All right, April brought us, let's see, Are We All Angels EP from Scowl for You. I went with Get Well Soon from Lopan. Second week, you went with Let's Call It Rock and Roll by Rock Out. I went with The Spin by Mesa. The next week, you had two picks. You had Welcome to the Future by Heat and Skeleta by Ghost. And looks like I had two as well. I had the Ghost album and also had Mid-Death Crisis by Wednesday 13. Some quality music. Oh, what did I do? I started all the way at the end. Yeah, that was brilliant. So, no, I skipped over a week. What did I do here? No, that's right. That's right. Did that. Okay, so I see. So on the 18th, there was just my pick. It was Horror Vacui from Sick and Beautiful. In May, let's see, first week of May, you went with Age of the Void by Under Ruins, and I went with Welcome to the Church of the Pistoleros by Gypsy Pistoleros. Second week, you went with Rumble and Roar from Paralyzed. I went with The Ugly Side of Me by Tetrarch. You went with Maestro from Magic Pie, and I went with Nation's Neurosis by Waltari. The following week, you went with Live at Rock Imperium Festival from Ronnie Romero, and I went with Steel Rust and Disgust from Midnight. And the last week in May, had you with the Dead Daisies Looking for Trouble, and I went with Songs of Last Resort from The Haunted. And obviously we just did June. So you've got all that info there, folks. In any event, this is the end of our June albums recap and our quick mini recap of the first half of 2025. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Jeremy, thank you for joining me. And we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for watching the Signals from Mars live stream. You can watch the show live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. Or check out replays on YouTube. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.